All right, Jonah, I gave you fair warning to look for it, and I'm going to give you another warning. I told you I was going to read the whole book to you. It's true. Not this whole book between cover to cover, but the whole book of Jonah. I was, when the Lord gave me this message, I thought, which verses? And I kind of sensed that he said, well, the whole thing. And I said, well, no, that's too much. But he assured me that y'all could handle it. Okay, so I'm going to lower the boom on you and give you the whole thing. Jonah, chapter 1. I'm just going to read the first chapter. Sometimes when you spend a lot of time on an airplane, your eyes get funny, so I have to have some helpers. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa. You know, first principle. When you run from God, you always go down. Went down to Joppa, where he found a ship for that port. After paying the fare, here's principle number two. When you run from God, you always pay a price. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea and such a violent storm that arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, and we will not perish. Then the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity. They cast lots, and they fell on Jonah. So they asked him, tell us, who is responsible for making this trouble against us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? He answered, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. This terrified them, and they asked, what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, what should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. I know that it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, Lord, please do not hold, but let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, O Lord, have done as you please. Then they took Jonah, and they threw him overboard into the raging sea, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, I'm going to stop there for a second, because you have to give Jonah a little credit here, okay? He's running from God, right? But at least he admits it. It's like, hey, Jonah, what's up? Hey, not much, you know, just running from God, doing my own thing, you know, just disobeying his commands, dishonoring him, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, he didn't really try to hide it. It says that, you know, they knew he was running because he had told them so. I mean, sometimes when we're running from God, we're not so ready to admit it. Sometimes when we're running from God, we're like, oh, no, everything's fine. It's good. It's, oh, yeah, I'm just loving Jesus. Jonah. You have to know that Jonah was one of the most honored and most sought after prophets of his time. In 2 Kings, I'm just going to read this little verse to you. 2 Kings chapter 14, beginning of verse 25, it says, talking about this king, that he was the one who restored the boundaries of Israel from Lebo Hamath to the Sea of Arabah, in accordance with the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, spoken through his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet from Gath-Hepher. During the time of Jonah, as he prophesied to the nation of Israel, God gave them a great prosperity, great prosperity. He increased their borders as a result of Jonah's ministry. He'd been faithful and been used by God in mighty, mighty, mighty ways. And now where do we find Jonah? He's on the run. He's running from God. God said, go here. He said, yeah, I'm going there. And took off that way. Right? He didn't give it a second thought. He just took off. I'm going to tell you, right now in your life, you're either running to God or you're running from God. And if you're standing still, that's the same thing as running from God, because you're not running to God, right? You're either running from God or you're running to God. Either to His purpose or from His purpose by your actions or by your attitudes, by the way we respond to the call of God. You see, God placed a call on Jonah's life. He said, I have a job for you. I want you to go to Nineveh. Preach to that great city. Jonah was like, that's not a great city, and I don't want to do it. I know what you told me to do, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do my own thing. And we're the same way. Either we're going to do God's will or we're not going to do God's will. We're going to follow our desires. And as just a side note, I want to tell you that if you think God's not calling you, if you think God is not calling you and speaking to you and has plans for you, it's not because He's not calling you, it's because you're not listening. If you want to get involved in what God's doing, you just ask Him and He'll show you. I guarantee you, if you say, God, what can I do? Use me. I bet I'm almost certain, no, I am certain, 100% certain, He's not going to say to you, I just don't have anything for you right now. Sorry, check with me later. Maybe I'll have something down the road. He's not going to say that. He's going to say, man, I've got stuff, I've been planning for you since before you were born. I've got plans for you, and they're good plans. Plans to prosper you and give you a hope and a future. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Our problem is that we come to God with our own agenda. We're not really concerned with God's plan. We come willing to serve in some specific areas, and we're only open to hearing God say, I bless your plans that you've made. You've made some great plans, and I'm just going to bless them. That's what we want to hear, right? We expect to hear that from God. We come and we unwilling to hear the things that, like, work with children. Spend some time out in the children's church during sermon. Help those kiddos out. Spend time with our youth and help our youth out. Teach a Bible study. Lead a Bible study. Start a Bible study. Start a home study. Start a home group. We hear those things and we're like, I think I'm just going to go pray in Tarshish about it. I'm going to pray about that. We say, I hear you, Lord. I'm just going to pray about that for a while. I know a great place in Tarshish. I'm going to go there and pray, spend some time in prayer. I'm just going to go pray about it and pray about it and pray about it. And God's like, you know what? I've given you, what else is there to pray about? I've spoken to you. I've given you a calling. And we end up running because it's not a calling we wanted to hear. You see, Jonah, he didn't mind preaching to his own people. We saw that in 2 Kings, right? He didn't mind preaching to his own people. But when God said, I want you to go to the Nineveh, that great city of Nineveh. You see, Jonah didn't like people in Nineveh. They're the enemy. They're bad folks. They're mean. They're ugly. They're torturous. They do bad stuff. And Jonah was like, no, they're the bad people. I want you to smoke them. Rain down fire on them, Lord. I'll watch that. I'll watch it. But don't ask me to go save it because I know what kind of God you are. I don't want you to save them. You see, he liked his calling better than he liked God's calling. Sometimes we like our callings better than we like God's calling for our lives. Here's the test. Here's the test about how to determine where you are in that. When you hear God's instruction in your life, your response is the test. Is it an interruption or is it an invitation? Does it mess you up and you're thinking, this is inconvenient for me? Or do you see it as, wow, what a great opportunity God's given me? How do you respond? How do you perceive God's revelation in your life? It's because how you perceive it will be the driving force behind how you respond to it. Your attitude determines your response. I keep saying this great city of Nineveh, that over about 15 times in this book, God calls Nineveh a great city of Nineveh. And I told you that it wasn't really a great city because it was full of bad stuff. And the kings of Nineveh, when they would conquer people, I mean, they conquered them, y'all, and they put them on public display to show what happens if you need to be conquered. And it was horrible and gory, and I'm not going to go into all the details. Just know that it was bad. Bad, bad place. God calls it a great city. Jonah's going like, you're messing with my mind here, God, because I know that's not a great city. That word great could be translated as large or significant. And you would have asked Jonah, he wouldn't have described it as great. But you see, God has a habit of calling things into being that are not. If you go back to Genesis, in the creation story, how did God create everything that we see? Even the stuff we can't see. How did he create it? He spoke it. Out of what? Out of nothing. He said, let there be light. Boom, there was light, and it was good. He said, let there be, you know, the waters. He said, let there be land, and it separated the waters. And he, let there be animals, and he just spoke this stuff, and it came to be. Stuff that wasn't before. He spoke it into being. And God calls Nineveh a great city. And you see, Jonah didn't see it like God called it. God called it great. Jonah didn't see it as great. He didn't want to fulfill his calling because he didn't see it the way God saw it. Some of you are not fulfilling your calling. Some of you are not fulfilling your calling because you don't see it like God has called it in your life. God has called some things in your life that aren't there yet. But you're not going along with it because you can't see it. You can't fathom it. To fulfill your calling, you must see it like God calls it. God calls things into existence that aren't there. You ever heard some guy talk about his marriage and his wife? And if this is you guys, I was about to apologize, but I'm not. You ever heard somebody say, yeah, that's my old lady right there? I got to go home to the old ball and chain. Marriage, yeah, my marriage is kind of like a prison. I feel like I'm in jail all the time, just kind of go home and get all locked up. Have you ever heard some guys talk about their marriages that way? Let me tell you something. If you call it like you see it, if you take notes, write this down because this is awesome. If you call it like you see it, you'll never see it like God has called it. If you call it the way you see it, you'll never see it the way God has intended it and how he has called it to be in your life. You see, we got to quit looking with our eyes and start beginning to look with God's eyes. God has called some great things in your life. You got to quit looking at it with your eyes and see how God has called it and then live according to it. He's given you everything you need to do that. God doesn't always call it like it is. He calls it what it can become. Romans 4:17 says, God gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. He just speaks and stuff happens. That's the kind of God I serve. Chapter 2. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God and said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened for my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me, and your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up out of the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. To those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto the dry land. Picture that in your mind. Chapter 3, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Okay, that's important. It came a second time. "Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim it to it the message I gave you." Jonah obeyed the word. You know, chapter 1, Jonah heard it and he went, "I'm going to go to Tarshish." Second time, Jonah heard the word. He said, "Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir." He was still wiping fish vomit off of his cloak, I guess. I don't know. He obeyed the word and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Now, y'all have heard of some of the great preachers, right? Some of the great sermons. You can go and you can dig up Spurgeon's sermons and Wesley's sermons, and some great sermons, right? Check this sermon out. 40 days, Nineveh's going to be overturned. Everyone responded. That's a sermon right there, I guess, huh? Here's the deal. It wasn't what Jonah said. The work was done before Jonah ever got there. The work was done by the Holy Spirit going in, invading and convicting, and then Jonah, all he had to do was be obedient. The same is true in your lives. If you'll just be obedient, God's already done the work. He's already laid the groundwork. He just expects you to follow through and be obedient and watch him work. Jonah can't take credit for this. Matter of fact, at the end, he gives credit to God. He's like, "I didn't want you to do it, but I knew what kind of God you were. I knew you were going to do that." God wants to do some great and amazing things, and he wants you to be obedient so that he can show his might and his power. Verse 6, when the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. "By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God," with a big G. "Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish." But when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction that he had threatened. Back at the beginning of that third chapter, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. You know, sometimes we run, like Jonah did. Sometimes we find ourselves running. Sometimes we don't want to see it as God has already called it. But God has a way of bringing us back to repentance. Sometimes we have to find ourselves on the beach wiping the muck and mire off of us, right? Sometimes he calls back a second time. Let me tell you something. Let me give you some encouragement. If you've already messed up, If you find yourself like Jonah, and you've already said, no, I'm going to do this other thing, and you've messed up, and you've gone down some paths that you really didn't want to go down, you find yourself lying on a beach covered in the vomit of your disobedience, and God calls you again, oh, friend, respond like Jonah did the second time. Answer, yes, sir, here am I. I'm ready to obey. Just because you've gone through some stuff, just because you've experienced divorce, maybe you've been addicted to drugs or alcohol or pornography or anything else that you can find yourself addicted to, just because you've been abused or maybe you've been an abuser, just because you've lost a job because of maybe you've been dishonest or just plain lazy, maybe you've messed up some stuff and have made some mistakes, it doesn't mean God can't and won't use you if you'll listen and obey. When he calls you back and he says, now, let's try this again. Guess what? God is a God of second chances. If you'll obey and you'll respond and follow him. You see, chapter 1, Jonah had excuses, right? In chapter 2, Jonah had regrets. Oh, woe is me, what have I done? God, you are the God of forever. You see, today's excuses will become tomorrow's regrets. If you find yourself making excuses today, tomorrow you're going to say, oh, I don't like where I am. I don't like the situation I'm in. In this fourth chapter, we find a lot of things out about Jonah. It says, Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? This is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take my life away, for it is better for me to die than to live. But the Lord replied, have you any right to be angry? Jonah went and sat down at a place east of the city, and there made himself a shelter, sat in its shade and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. This is a significant verse right here, because it's the only time in the book Jonah was happy. Right? The only time he was happy. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed up the vine so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die. He said, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you have a right to be angry about the vine? I do, he said. I am angry enough to die. But the Lord said, have you been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend to it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and it died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that, here it is, great city? In verse 1, Jonah was more interested in getting God to validate and bless his plans and wishes more than he was seeking God's purpose. And so my question is, where are you today? Are you more concerned about your stuff or God's stuff? You better think long and hard about before you answer that question. Are you more concerned about your stuff or God's stuff? In verse 2, he prayed to the Lord, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? This is why I was so quick to flee Tarshish. I knew that you are gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. You see, sometimes we may not obey because we don't know how things are going to turn out. You see, we're scared. Sometimes we're like, I don't know. I want to have faith, but I'm not sure that it's going to turn out the way I want or the way I like it. But then there's sometimes we don't obey because we're like Jonah. We do know how it'll turn out. Jonah didn't obey because he knew God would. He was capable of saving the Ninevites. Jonah didn't want them saved. He was like, smoke them. The earth will be a better place without them, Lord. Jonah knew how it would turn out, and he didn't obey. Sometimes we know how things are going to turn out, and so we don't obey. Sometimes God says, you know what? I blessed you with a little extra money. I want you to give that. And we say, yeah, but I might need that. If I give that away and I don't have it, well, then what happens if I need it and I don't have it? So I'm just going to keep it for myself. We see we deposit in the First American Trust Bank of Tarshish. We go there to make a deposit. Sometimes we don't obey because, because we do know how things are going to turn out. Jonah liked the things about, he liked God's compassion and grace in chapter 2, didn't he? When it was him who was receiving the grace and compassion, when he was in the belly of the fish and God had mercy on him, he liked him. Then he liked that compassion, those qualities about God then, right? But then in chapter 4, he's complaining about the same qualities. I knew that you were gracious and compassionate. I knew it. I've experienced it, but I didn't want other people to experience it. I just wanted to have it for me. I'm good with you, giving me that stuff. I didn't want you to give it to them. I mean, pick somebody else, but not them. Kind of like Michelle's message to the kids a while ago. Love who? Oh, even the Ninevites? Oh, come on now, not them. Surely not them. I have some Ninevites in my life, and I'm not sure God, the world wouldn't be a better place without them, Lord. Right? But God says, no. They're great. They just don't know it yet. And I need you to tell them. Jonah was disobedient because he knew how it would turn out. Sometimes we're disobedient because we know how it'll turn out. If I give forgiveness, if I forgive somebody that's wronged me, and I forgive them, I know how it's going to turn out. They're going to run all over me again. So I'm just not going to forgive. I'm going to hold on to that one. I'm not going to let them get the best of me again. Right? We know how it's going to turn out. The problem is we lose sight of how good our God is and how big our God is. We think we know how it's going to turn out. We're not looking with God's eyes. We're looking with our eyes. God provided a leafy plant to give Jonah some shade. I bet he was bald-headed like me. Because when that sun scorched him, I bet he was wishing for some shade then, wasn't he? God provided a leafy plant. The whole city. Get this. Okay, Jonah speaks. He says, 40 days, Nineveh's going to be overturned. Everybody repents. Everybody repents. The king says, everybody, I make a decree, everybody has to repent. Everybody repented. Even the beasts, the animals went on fast. Everybody repented. And Jonah's what? Oh, he's ticked. He doesn't like that. He speaks a simple little message. Everybody gets converted. And he's mad. He's sitting up there under a bush. He was happy about the shade, but he was mad about Nineveh. The only time Jonah was happy was when God's provision was benefiting his convenience. Uh-oh. Anytime we're more concerned about our convenience than God's calling, misery is inevitable. Anytime we're more concerned about our convenience than what God's plans are, we're going to find ourselves like Jonah, just miserable. The same God, listen, you remember the plant that sprung up and covered his head? It's like, oh, I like the plant. I like the plant. God sent the plant, right? The same God that sent the plant sent the worm. Right? What'd the worm do? It ate the plant. So now Jonah's upset again. Jonah is consumed. This is good. This is good. Listen. Jonah is consumed with his convenience. So God consumed his convenience. So that he could be consumed with God's call in his life. He was consumed with his convenience, so God consumed his convenience so that his focus would be back on what God's plan for him in his life is. God's not so concerned about your conveniences, folks. Now, if you want that kind of message, there's some churches you can go to, and they'll teach you all day long about how God just loves you and he wants nothing but great things for you, and he wants to bless you and just give you stuff right and left, and he's make you prosperous and all that. And you know what? Sure, those things can be true. But God's primary purpose and focus is not your convenience. His primary purpose and focus is your salvation and then other people's salvation because of your obedience to God's plan. You hit that right out of the park. Man, that's good stuff. This is a prophetic word from God. And I know it's true because Jesus said it was prophetic. In Matthew 12, verse 38 and following, he says, the Bible says, some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, being Jesus, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." And Jesus answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." The men of Nineveh, that great city of Nineveh, will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here. Jonah said, "Repent. Turn or burn. You're going to be overthrown." They said, "Okay." Now something greater than Jonah was here in these folks' presence, and they didn't get it. Do you get it? Something greater than Jonah is in your presence. Do you get it? Something greater than Jonah is here. For everyone who is trying to escape a calling that God is wanting you to embrace, God's calling you. And if you're trying to escape it, if you're trying to run, if you're headed for Tarshish, for everyone who's consumed with your own convenience rather than being consumed with God's purpose, for everyone who's bound for Tarshish, but now God is redirecting your path according to his purpose, I want to tell you, something greater than Jonah is here. You see, Jonah is what the scholars call a type of Christ. It means it's kind of like a foreshadowing of Christ, but there's some big differences. Here's some of the differences. Jonah went from Israel to Tarshish to flee from the presence of the Lord. Right? Jesus went from the presence of the Lord to earth. To hear, but not to run from God, but to come and accomplish the will of God. Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, three nights because of his disobedience. His disobedience. Jesus spent 3 days and three nights in the earth because of your disobedience, because of my disobedience. Big difference. The fish spit Jonah out after 3 days to give him a second chance. right? God of second chances. The fish spit Jonah out to give him a second chance. The grave spit Jesus out to give you and I a second chance. God did all that for you. He did all of that for us. And now, something greater than Jonah is here. Someone greater than Jonah is calling your name. Jesus is calling you. Will you answer the call? Will you answer the call that Jesus is placing in your life, that God's calling you? Will you answer that call? Or are you going to head for Tarshish? Are you going to say, not now? I've got too many things going my way, God. I don't have time for this. Not now, God. I've just got things in line the way I wanted them. Don't go messing up my plans now. Not now, God. Not me. I like my lifestyle better than I like your lifestyle. I like my friends better than I like your friends. Of course, the truth of the matter is, if they were really your friends and you knew the power of salvation and you don't tell them, what kind of friend are you? I want to be your friend. I want to be your friend today. There is something that God wants me to tell you, and I think it's this. If you don't know Him, oh, you better know Him today. Salvation comes from the Lord God, our awesome God, through the power of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the only way to be saved. I'm not going to buttercoat that or try to make it any other way, because that's the only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. Bible tells me that every day, that someday it's coming when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. That's going to happen. The question is, are you going to do it while it counts or as a regret? It's going to happen for everybody's life. Are you going to do it right now when it counts? Or are you going to do it someday when the Lord comes back and you're going like, oh, what have I done? Jesus really is the Son of God. And that's too late for me. Oh, I wouldn't be your friend if I told you that you could just wait. I won't be your friend right now and tell you today's the day. Today's the day for salvation. And if you find yourself that you've been running from God and you've been on the boat to Tarshish, you've been going through some stuff and you find yourself you need to clean yourself up a little bit, do it. Clean up, because God's coming with a second chance for your life right now. How do you respond? I'm going to quit talking about it. I'm just going to tell you. Now is the time. What are you going to do? Ball's in your court. Let's stand and we'll sing a song. I'm going to give you some time. The altar's open. I'll be standing in the front.